All right, if we look into the book of Ruth, amen. Let's go to chapter number 2, verse number 1. You know, we've looked at Naomi and the faith that Naomi had, and what a blessing it was to look at how that she seen her need and turned back to God, and she came back to Bethlehem, Judea. And then we've looked at a Ruth and how her faith and trusting in the God of Naomi. Of course, now Naomi is actually a picture, if you study this out, and that's why actually I'm going to preach on is Boaz this morning, if the Lord will let me, on the picture, picture of Boaz being a type of Christ. In the Word of God, we have pictures that gives us pictures, and what we see that Naomi actually is a picture of the Israelites and pictures of the Jew, and how that they went away from God and then they came back, and how God will restore them and bless them. Then we see that Ruth is a picture of the church. She's a picture of her sinner.
Yeah.
How that she was a sinner and how God sought her out and saved her. And then we see, of course, she becomes part of the church. Then we come to Boaz in chapter number 2. Now, we come to Boaz in chapter number 2. The Bible says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth in the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So we introduced to Boaz here. Now, you'll find that his name is mentioned 10 times in this chapter, and then it's mentioned 10 more times in chapter 3 and chapter 4. One commentary said this, that when you come to Boaz and when he becomes a prominent, you got to forgive me. I still got this cough. I feel fine, but I got a cough, and I can't get rid of it. And when I look at y'all, it makes me cough. But one commentary said when we come to Boaz, and when we've come to his name, he becomes a prominent person now in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, and his name's mentioned 20 times. And isn't it true, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes that prominent person in our life. Amen. And you just can't keep mentioning his name. That's what Brother David just said. He testified about the Lord Jesus Christ when he met Jesus. Amen. That's what I testify as a little seven-year-old boy in Rose Chapel Baptist Church when I met the Lord. Now, I'm glad that I met him. If you're here this morning, you've never met him. He wants to meet you this morning. He wants to meet you this morning. Well, I may not preach at all, but anyway. like the little girl that went to church and she's leaving, going home. And she said, I wonder how that preacher got that frog in his throat. Because her mom said, what are you talking about? She said, the preacher said he had a frog in his throat. That little girl was wondering how he had a frog in his throat. I haven't got a frog in my throat, but I've got something in it. All righty. When we look at the whole skim of the whole book of Ruth, in chapter number 1, we see weeping. And we see how the family, we see a choice that a family makes that took them away from God. Your choices will decide where you go. Amen. You young people are sitting here. Your choice is going to affect you the rest of your life. We come to chapter number 2. We see the afflictions of Naomi in chapter 1. But in chapter number 2, we see the activity of Ruth. We see the working. We see her in the field. She's willing to labor. We really see the humility of Ruth. In chapter number 3, we see the waiting of Ruth and the acknowledgement of Boaz, and when she comes before Boaz. In chapter number 4, we see the worship and then also the alliance of the bridegroom. But chapter number 2, we want to look at Boaz. We can for just a moment and see a picture. Boaz, his name means strength. Even in Solomon's temple, the left column and then the temple was called Boaz, and it meant the strength of the Lord, or in his strength. Boaz was truly a strong person. And when we come to chapter 1, I want to read, then I'll pray. The Bible says, chapter 2, excuse me, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I want to preach on this morning Boaz being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day. God, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for saving us. God, I pray you'll touch our throat, God, and I pray you'll touch our thoughts. And God, I pray, Father, you'll just anoint us and fill us with thy power. Help us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, we need you. Without you, God, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. When we come to Boaz, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many people in the Word of God that pictures Christ. We think about Joseph. He's a great picture. Matter of fact, someone has said he's over 100 types. There are 100 different kind of types about Joseph, the things about Joseph that would relate him to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Boaz, there's many. I don't know how many would be, but there's many things. When I first think about it, when we're introduced to him, the first thing we're introduced to that he is a mighty man. Amen. And I believe our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he's likened to our Lord Jesus Christ, but our Lord Jesus Christ was a mighty man. Amen. Amen. You say, what was he mighty in? Well, he was mighty in his character. He was mighty in his character. So there was no guile found in his mouth. There was no sin in his life. He was mighty when he came to this earth. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Timothy, and Paul talking to Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. That what? That God became flesh and dwelt among men. That God became flesh. Amen. So he was a mighty, mighty man. We think about David and all his mighty men that he has, and they have a great list of mighty men. But there was none that was as mighty as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so there's a lot of things that people can do down here upon this earth. Some people can be strong, some people can be wise, and different things of that sort. But there's something about somebody that's mighty when they're mighty in their character and their integrity. There's just something about somebody that's mighty when their word means something. Yes, right. When their life means something. You know, some people you can just trust. There was a time, people tells me about that time. I never lived during that age. But people tell me about a time when you walk in the bank and you could borrow money and you borrowed it on your name. And you would just take a handshake, and that would all it would take is a handshake. Now it takes 2 pens and a lawyer, amen? Yeah. But to be able to sign and get anything, to borrow a dollar, you know, amen? To be able to borrow money at the bank now, you have to prove you don't need it. Yeah. But I'm just joking, but anyway. But that almost seemed like it's true, amen? But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was mighty in his integrity and his character. He was a mighty man because of his integrity. I mean, no God. I mean, he never sinned whatsoever. He was the sinless Lamb of God. You realize his thoughts was always. See, you can be mighty in many ways, but I tell you what, if we don't watch it, we might put on a pretty good show. But I tell you what, we got a battle going on right here in this mind. But he was mighty even in his integrity and his thinking. He never thought a thought that was wrong. It's hard to imagine, ain't it? He never thought. Hey, he never did an act that was not right.
Yeah.
He never did a deed that was ungodly. He never did anything. I'm telling you, he was a mighty man. A mighty man. And we realize that Boaz was a mighty man. His character shines through even in the book of Ruth. The character of Boaz. And we see that the life of Jesus, his character shines through that what Jesus Christ was a mighty man. And then the Bible says, not only was he a mighty man, but the next thing he said, he was wealthy. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Jesus was wealthy. Amen. He just owned the whole world. Amen. He just owns everything. You see it, he owns it. You know, they talk about those land, people has big farms in Texas, and those men that go out there, and they say, as far as I can see, I own all this land. God looks down from heaven, looks at the earth, and looks at Jupiter and all the other different planets. He says, hey, all you see, I own.
Yeah.
All of it, it's all mine. Amen. He's a mighty man of wealth. The Bible says this. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Yes. I mean, he was rich. He was rich beyond measure.
Amen.
You realize, God, what could God value? You and I value gold. You and I value things down here. I mean, God's so rich, nothing really is valuable to him. But the souls of mankind. Amen. Oh, we see that, but I mean, we look at, he was so rich, and we see Boaz, and we see again a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his riches, how rich he was. The Bible goes on also to say, but yet for your sakes he became poor. That through that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll see a little bit more of that in just a second. But then also we see that he is of the family of the Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And the Bible says in verse number 2, and Ruth, the Moabite, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn according after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You know who she found grace in sight? She found grace in the sight of Boaz. Well, I'm glad he is also one that is gracious. I'm glad he's the one that bestows grace upon you and I. Let's read on in our text. I'm getting excited now. Verse number 8, verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. I know another one that came from Bethlehem. Amen. Yeah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And then he goes on to say this. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant, what was said over the reaper? Whose damsel is this? I'm glad that Boaz is one that comes down to the field. Of course, the field would be a picture of the world. Comes down to the field, and his eyes are on those that are in the field. Amen. His eyes is concerned with those who are in the field. And the Bible says, he said, whose damsel is this? Who is this lady that's in the field? Now, you and I know from the love story here that he's looking at her and he sees her beauty and different things. But we realize that when we look at it from the standpoint, he looks on that field and no doubt there's strangers in the field.
Yeah.
There's people that's not part of his family. There's people that's not part of his. And he sees this stranger in the field. I'm glad God knows who is a stranger in the field. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ can see that one. That could be this morning. That could be a stranger in the field. That could be somebody that's came into the house of God. And you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning. You could be a stranger among the people, but be a stranger among the family of God. And can I say this morning, he looks for strangers. He desires that one that he might know. He said, this one among me I don't know. Yep. Now, guess what? He knew about the history of this young lady. Matter of fact, if we read on, he's going to say that he knows what she's done for Naomi. He knows a little bit about her. I'm glad he's a God that knows. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ knows our condition. He knows where we're at. He sees us where we are. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that he is the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's seeking. He's watching. He's looking. He's desirous to know you. Whose damsel is this? He wants to know you. Now see, what problem is a lot of people has religion. You know what religion is? Religion is just something that we do. You eat religiously. You can go through a routine and be a religion. You do that religiously. So religion is death within itself. It's just a routine.
That's it.
So God's not looking for you to be religious. So he wants you to be his. Whose damsel is this? He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He desires to know you. Paul said that I may know him. Amen. He has a desire to have a relationship with you. I'm telling you, thank God that Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, desires to know the stranger that's in the field. If you walked in this morning to the house of God and you're outside of the economy of God, so that's what she was. She was a stranger. She didn't have no place in the Jewish family. She didn't have no place, no right to be there. She didn't even have a right to be in the field gleaning, but hallelujah. God had allowed her to be there. And she said, I'm going to go try to find a little grace today. I'm going to go to somebody's field and see if I can find some grace in the eyes of the one that owns the field. I'm glad you found a place where you could find some grace. I'm glad he's got saving grace for you this morning. He came, the Bible says, that he came to seek and to save the lost.
Yes.
This morning you were sitting in this building, a bunch of lost folks that just got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. If you're here this morning, you're a stranger in the field. I'm telling you what he wants to do. He wants to save you this morning.
Amen.
He wants to save you.
Amen.
Boaz, you know what he was? He was gracious towards her. He allowed her. He was gracious. He took notice of her. Y'all ain't getting this. He took notice of her.
Amen.
See, you don't realize it, but we don't think about it in these terms. But see, on that Sunday morning I got saved, on that day that you got saved, that your mama took you up on that hill to that Baptist church, you know what God was doing? He was taking notice. He was taking notice of you. There in that tent meeting, Brother Nix, over there in Fairmount, Georgia. You know what he was doing? He took notice that you was in the underneath the tent. Brother Ricky, he took notice that you was underneath the tent that night. He took notice that there was a stranger in the field that had a need. Oh, I'm telling this straight roof, she had a need, my friend. She had a great need. She was a stranger. She was an outcast. She was a foreigner in the country. And she needed somebody to show grace on her.
Yes.
You and I was outside of the economy of God. We was aliens without God, without peace, and without hope. But I'm glad there's one of our heavenly Boaz. Heavenly Boaz came by and took notice of you and I. Well, I'm glad he can take notice of you. The Bible says he took notice of her. Whose damsel is this? And then look on with me what it says. And the servant that sat over the reapers answered and said unto it, is the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi. Verse number 7, and she said, I pray you let me glean together after the reapers among the sheaves. Look at verse number 8. Then said Moaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men? They shall not touch thee. When thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I felt grace in thy eyes? I'm telling you, that's where we should be this morning. That's where we should be. Why would a holy God, why would the Lord Jesus Christ pass by our way, show us favor, show us grace, and show us that we was a sinner, and let us have the privilege to be birthed into the family of God?
Yeah.
Oh, who am I? God. What did she say? She fell on her face before the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Oh, I'm glad he's a gracious God.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the Lord of the harvest. He's trying his best this morning to harvest another one out of the pits of sin. I'm telling you, he loves you this morning.
Yeah.
Our heavenly Boaz loves you. He loves the stranger in the field. He said, well, he knew her need. He knew exactly what she needed. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, you need a place. So she said in verse number 2, she said, I'm going to go somewhere and hope I find grace in somebody's eyes to blah, 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 to glean in a field.
Yeah.
Now, you know what he said? He said, you found it.
That's it. Yeah.
He said, hey, wherever my maidens go, wherever these reapers, you just follow them.
There you go.
Her prayer's been, it's been answered.
Yeah.
What was she needing? She was needing food to sustain her.
Yeah.
Amen. She was needing water for her health, for her physical need. He said, here's water.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this morning, our heavenly Boaz got everything you need.
Yeah.
I don't know what you, I know you need to be saved this morning. I don't know what brought you to that point. Hey, I found people need to be saved. I know because we're our sin and we're all sinners. All of sin comes for the glory of God. But God uses different avenues to show people.
Yeah. Amen.
Get them in the place where they need to be saved. Amen. He brings conviction. He brings conviction in different people's ways. Different ways. He brought conviction to me as a young boy. Some of you, that he brought conviction to you as you was an older person. And you lived within a life of sin. But yet, somewhere you came as a prodigal out in the hog pit. He came to himself. He used that hog pen to bring that prodigal to himself. I don't know what he might be using to bring you today, but he knows exactly what you need.
Amen.
Man, can I tell you, it's our heavenly Boaz.
Hey.
Just like this earthly Boaz, he can meet, Brother Stringer, he can meet all your needs.
Yeah.
Amen. He can meet your need. You realize we know that we need to be saved from our sin. We're sin. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Well, Jesus said, paid for. Got that covered. Amen. Went to Calvary. Died and bled on an old rugged cross. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. Isaiah said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was made sin for you and I. But you wouldn't have to pay for your sin. Amen. 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 You wouldn't have to pay your sin debt this morning. Oh, he's got that covered. What do you need this morning? He's got it covered. He can cover your sin debt. Amen. He can cover that. Then I'm glad to honor that. The Bible says there, he said, didn't I tell? He said, I've already told the young men to leave you alone. Hey, you need some security today? I'm telling you, he's got security.
Yeah.
Once you get in the arms of Jesus, once you get in the hands of him, hey, you won't get out.
Amen.
You can't fall out of grace.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 I'm saying you're sustained by grace. You're surrounded by grace. Amen. You're full of grace. I'm saying grace is all around you. Matter of fact, what did the devil came to talk to Jesus, talk to God one day? Read about it in Job chapter 1. And God said this. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan, where you been going? He said, I've been going anywhere I wanted to, up and down the earth. Prince of prayer there. He said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan had a swaller look. Yeah. I've looked his way a few times. But there's a problem. What is a problem, Satan? This is a problem. You got a hedge about him.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, don't forget it now.
Yeah.
So some of y'all think y'all's God's so weak.
Yes.
Y'all walked into this, well, I don't know if God's even alive. I'm telling you, his grace, his provisions is around you. He's making provisions for you. This week, this past week, his grace has been sufficient. The next week, I don't mean to make little your problems and belittle what you're going through. It's kind of like surgery. Minor. Somebody said, I'm going to have minor surgery. The only time I have minor surgery when it's on somebody else. I don't mean to make little of yours. But I'm telling you, there's a great God overshadowing your life.
Amen.
There's grace, sufficient grace for every need, for every trial, for every tear, for everything you go through. There's grace for it. And there's a God in heaven that's looking out your way, is watching you. And you're not some number to him, but he is a great God, a loving God, a gracious God, and a kind God. And he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need.
Amen.
He said, have not commanded the young men not to touch you. The protected hand of God. Well, I'm glad I've got a heavenly Boaz that has engulfed me in his grace and his mercy and his kindness. I mean, he saved me, sealed me, and one day he's going to deliver me to heaven. Bible says, blessed be the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy. Have begotten us as a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that inherits incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey. They're kept by the power of God. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm kept by his power.
Yes.
Amen. There's a hedge that he's built around us. Is that not command? He's the Lord of the harvest. And he knows exactly what you need if you're a stranger in the field. He's also a supplier of all our wants. Look at verse number 16. He said, let fall also some of... Now, you know we're good Baptists. Well, I just say I'm a good preacher sometimes. I misquote the Bible sometimes. You know, I usually say handfuls on purpose. But that's not what that verse says. It's handfuls of purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some handfuls he just wants to give. And they're purposely given to you. Of purpose. He has a purpose for. He said, in that fall also some handfuls of purpose for her. And lead them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Oh, I'm telling you. God's got some things out there in your life just for you. They're not for anybody else. Now, as you're laboring in the field and you're a servant of, and you're in the field, he's got some blessings that he wants us to put out on purpose. He got some things he just wants to give you, Brother Bo, Brother Derek. There's a handful of purpose.
Yes.
He just lay him out there. Just pile him up right there in the middle of the field for him. Oh, that he might be able to get him. I don't know about you, but I've come across some of them in my life. Yeah. I've come. You said, preacher, I ain't never found none of those. It just seems like I'm just. You know what your problem may be? Your problem is all you can do is see the bad of life and not the good.
Yeah.
Amen. Have you heard about people that when they look at a glass of water, you see my water over here. Oh, Lord's got it perfect for us almost. See how most people would look at this water and say, ah, your cup's half empty. Other people look at it and say, your cup's half full.
Right. Yeah.
So the problem is, if you look through the eyes of flesh, you always see the empty part.
Yeah.
If you look through the eyes of the Spirit of God, you know what you'll see? You'll see the full part.
Amen.
You'll see what God is doing behind the scenes, behind the eyes of faith man cannot see. You'll see what He's done for you.
Yeah.
This morning, if you're here and you got some age on you, God's allowed you to live a lot longer than others. But all you might can think about is your aches and your pains and your sorrows and your sadness and what life has dealt you because you've lived a while. You know, the longer a person lives, the less friends they have. You say, I don't believe that. Well, just attend funerals. You attend a funeral of somebody that's lying, that's in their 90s. You know what you'll find? You don't find many people attend. Why? Because most of the people she's known or he's known already went to heaven.
Yeah.
Or already died. Amen. When we think about the goodness of God, what God has done for us, those handfuls on purpose, sometimes it's how we view them. So I believe a lot of us sitting in this building have missed some handfuls of purpose. I mean, you've walked right by them and didn't even think about Glenn. Because you had your eyes on the emptiness of the field. So there's a whole lot more emptiness in the field than there was sheaves than there was in the field to be reaped. Why? The harvesters just went through. They was leaving some handful of purpose just for you. I'm glad I got a heavenly Boaz to do that. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't see him, what he's doing. See, Naomi didn't realize. So God sometimes has to empty us before he can fill us. And she said this. She said, I went out full and I came back empty.
Yeah.
So sometimes God has to empty us that he might be able to fill us. I just wonder. Said, as we're going through those emptying times, when we're going to that time of emptying, God's emptying us out, we don't watch it, we'll get bitter.
Yeah.
We won't get the blessings of God. All we'll see is the bitterness. What's wrong? Hey. Let me head on, I thought part of my text, but all the supplies of wants. My God should supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. But then we see he's a redeemer of his inheritance. He's the kinsman redeemer. Will you go to chapter number 4 with me? Now you know, as if you know the picture of in Ruth, we come to chapter number 3 and she sits before his feet. And actually there's nothing immoral, nothing going on here wrong. But this is the custom of what's taking place. And he's claiming her in chapter number 3 as his own. But his problem, there's one that is near kin that he is. That one is near kin, many would say, is the law. I wouldn't have no problem with that. It would be likened to the law. I liken it to the law and also the flesh. One that's near kin. He goes, and that one don't want to marry. That one don't marry his inheritance. See, on the fleshly side, says she was a Moabite, and she wasn't allowed in. But here Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, that was willing to take her in. Why? Because of his love for her. He was willing to take her as she was and make her part of his family. No matter what it might admire, she was willing to do that because of his great love for her. Can't I tell you what Jesus Christ did? Before the foundation of the world, he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Yeah. He looked at Adam. What all was lost in Adam, he was willing to redeem. What Adam could not redeem himself, well, the law. The Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. Jesus said, Father, I'll go. And I'll become flesh, and I'll dwell among men, that I might be able to purchase them, that I might be able to redeem them, that I might be able to buy them back, make them part, once again, of the family of God. That kinsman redeemer was a restorer. Amen, that's what he was doing. And notice what he was going to restore. You got to see this now. Notice what he's going to restore. Look at verse number 10. Excuse me, verse number 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, you're a witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's. That's Naomi's.
Yeah.
And I bought all that was Chilion and Mahlon. Y'all get this now. Y'all get this now. See, y'all remember when chapter number 1, there was division took place. Naomi headed out. She'd heard that there was bread back in Moab. Hallelujah. I can't preach it. I already preached it. But I'm glad I heard the message one day. And so she went back. And when she went back, there's a little girl behind her by the name of Orpha. And another little girl behind her by the name of Ruth. Right? But they finally came that Naomi said, you know, I can't have no more kids. I can't have no more children. Go back to your own people and go back to your own families. And the Bible says Ruth, what? Cleaved to her.
Yep.
But Orpha departed and went back. But I want you to look here. Who did he redeem? He redeemed Ruth. And he also redeemed Orpha. He redeemed both of them.
Yep.
And you say, he redeemed both husbands. I don't know which one Ruth was married to, which one Orpha was married to, but he redeemed both of the husbands. So that means he redeemed both of the women.
Yeah.
I'm glad our heavenly Boaz has a whosoever gospel.
Hey.
Whosoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad he's willing. The Bible said he tasted death for every man. He said, preacher, you don't know what I've sinned. You don't know the sin I've sinned. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. It don't matter. I'm glad I got a heavenly Father that redeems all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a whosoever gospel. He redeems, the Bible says he has redeemed us. He's redeemed the whole world. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. Every man.
Amen.
He paid it all. That means everybody in here, he paid your sin debt.
Yes.
You're a candidate for salvation. Wouldn't it be sad? We packed up, jumped on a plane, flew to Africa, stepped off that plane, and we sat there and looked at those people. We wonder which one God has chosen, which one God hadn't. Wouldn't it be awful if we sat in this building this morning, and I had it within my mind. So Calvinistic doctrine is starting to make a rebound among Baptist churches.
God help us.
You know what it does? It's Calvinist doctrine. It completely smothers out evangelism.
Absolutely.
Then it completely cuts off, just completely severs out missions and the Great Commission to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. And you know what it lastly does? It dries up a church that just sits there and dies. Because how can you have any hope? How can you have any gladness when you wonder if your own wife has been selected or not? Or one of the children that you gave birth to is going to be one of the beloved or not. I'm saying it sucks the life right out of our churches and sucks the life right out of the church, evangelism and mission and outreach. And it kills. You know why it does that? Because it's from the devil.
That's it.
That's what he came to do, to steal and destroy and kill. I lose friends for just what I've said to you. I've lost friends because of.
It's truth. It's
you. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that Bible said he bought Elimelech. He bought Mahlon and Chilion, the two that was married. He bought it all.
Yeah.
I'm glad our great Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, bought it all.
Amen.
Yeah.
This morning, can you see this, though? There's a little girl back in the Moab that's bowing down to her gods. Her name's Orpha. She's bowing down to her gods, and she's bowing down to her people and her traditions and her... She's lost. You know what's going to happen to her? She's going to die. That's what we would call a heathen. Right? In a heathen religion. She may have even got married. Maybe she might have cast her first son or her first daughter to the fire god. To the gods there. She put them before the fire. She may have gave her own. And she's there in Moab. You know why? Because she made a decision one day. Says she had heard about the God of Israel.
Yes, she had.
Ruth heard about it. She said, Ruth said what? Naomi, your God would be what? My God. Mm-hmm. Naomi had told him about her God. You know what? She could have been having the same blessings that Ruth was having. But she rejected. She turned and went the wrong way. That's the same thing this morning. If you're not saved, you're bowing down to the gods of this world. You may not even realize it, but you are.
Amen.
You're a servant of God, of the God of this world, the prince and power of the air. You're a child of Satan. That's what the Bible says. Children of disobedience. Children of darkness.
Yeah.
And the payment's been paid. There's Ruth enjoying the blessings of God. She has a wedding. She's now having children. She's even in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But she's got a sister. Stooped and still in her old religion.
Yeah.
Going to die in her sins. Going to go to hell. This morning, could that be you? Could you be one that's heard the truth? You've heard about the God of Israel, God of Isaac and Jacob. You've heard about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you reject it, you too, my friend, have been paid for. You've been bought. Amen. You can be saved. But the only ones he saves are those that comes to him. Those that ask us. Then we see lastly, verse number 10. More of Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon. Well, we do know who she's wife is. The wife of Mahlon. I've purchased to be my wife. He's also a picture of the bridegroom.
Yeah.
I told you Ruth's a picture of what? The church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Yeah.
That's what Boaz was doing. He was giving himself for Ruth to be his wife. This morning, would you be like to be one of the part of the bridegroom? Would you be like to be the church? The bride, not the bridegroom, but the bride. Would you like to be a part of the church? He loves you this morning. Jesus loves you so much, he went to Calvary. God loves you so much, He gave His Son. Jesus loves you so much, you went to Calvary. The Spirit of God loves you so much, and you came down here today. Knock on your heart's door. You need to be saved. If you are saved, are you being that which God would have you to be? Are you loving the bridegroom like you should? Are you seeing what, are you noticing those handful of purpose that He gives you? We're standing our heads about.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for the message, Lord, that You have sent, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, You'll touch us and, Lord, just help us use this message, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, You'll help us stop to thank, Lord, what all You have done for us, Lord, and for the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill, Lord. And for, Lord, for all the things that You've redeemed us from, Lord. And I pray, God, You'll just touch each one of us, Lord. I pray, God, help us to grow in Your word, Lord, and Your grace, Lord. And Father, we just want to pray, God, You'll just touch us this afternoon, Lord. I pray, God, we all go our separate ways, Lord, to keep us and protect us, Lord, and keep us safe. Send us back to church safely tonight. And all this we ask for Your name. Amen.